really praise God because this gospel of Jesus Christ is redemptive. We're not preaching jokes. We're not believing idle fables. We believe that Jesus Christ came with a mission, and Jesus accomplished his mission. When Jesus came on earth, he came to forgive sins. And I praise God that he did. Now, sometimes we think, and this is what one of the things that the general superintendent said to the ministerial retreat this last week, and what a great time we had out there. She said, sometimes we feel that the church has a mission, and the mission was given by Jesus Christ. She says that's partially true. But if the truth be known, God has a mission. And God has a church in the world to fulfill his mission. My friends, that's something radical that we need to get right. That is not a political mission that we have. That God has given us a redemptive mission. That's his mission. James was able to say that from the foundation of the world, God has been active with all people in the world. We need to get that right. I came away from that retreat really refreshed. I thank God that the other brethren were able to come, the ministers of the church were able to be out there this year with their wives, and I really praise God for the glorious time we had. I want to thank God that he rescued Brother Hunt from an accident that could have had all of us in tears because a truck slammed into his vehicle on the right side, on the right side of the road, if you could imagine that. I had to do a lot of work to get that picture straight in my head. 18-wheeler knocked out both of his right wheels. He's sitting down in church here this morning. I praise God that God is good to us. Amen. Praise God. This gospel is redemptive. There is purpose in this. When I was 16, I heard that message. My friends, that thing changed my life forever. I really believe that Jesus Christ on the cross redeems people. I really believe that every day that we live, we must live it in the presence of God. And when we would have come to the end of our days, we'd be able to look back and say, every day we live for the glory of God. Samuel was able to do that. Very, very early in life, Samuel too was called by God. When Samuel became an old man, he turned to the people and said, y'all tell me, anybody have stolen any of your lambs? Tell me any of your cattle that I stole? Tell me anybody that I defraud you? Come and tell me. Don't speculate. Come tell me what I did. And he called on people to do that. Recently, I heard Brother Morgan do the same thing. A man that we know, he has been the leader of the Nazarene Church in Guyana. At his retirement, we had a special something for him in Queens here. And he said, you know, I could not have been in public life for a number of years without offending somebody. He said, I got to offend somebody. So he said, what I want to do now is to tell you, anybody that I offended, come tell me. Tell me how I offended you. And I will tell you from now, I'm sorry. Those are my sentiments. Because, you know, you can't be a pastor of a church all these years since 1982 and come to this time and then get a lot of people vexed. But I can tell you, my friends, in my heart, I've never intended to hurt anybody. Every day I live, I seek to live this redemptive life seriously before God. And in attempting to do that, I must fret some people. It was never my intention. I want to live before my God that when one of these days he calls me home, I want to be ready. It's the reason that I'm calling your attention to the message from Jesus' beloved Apostle John. In John, 1 John chapter 1, we find these words. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are not pious platitudes. John wasn't cracking jokes when he said, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and God is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to ask you, if Jesus is going to forgive us of our sins, how many of our sins is he going to forgive us? You really believe that? All. If Jesus forgives us, he forgives us for all. Hear me, child of God. If you confess your sin and you trust Jesus to forgive you of your sin, don't bother with the ones that bug in you. And there are some things that we all have done that bugs us. What we got to do is to understand that Jesus forgives us of what? All our sins. Rise up and praise God the rest of your life that Jesus touched you. And this is not the president giving you a presidential pardon. It's not the Queen of England giving you a royal pardon. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that pardons all. Whatever sins you've committed, he wants to tell us from his word today that the root to that forgiveness is conviction and confession of sins. Conviction and confession. This is what John is talking about here. And this is the path to a redemptive forgiveness. That Jesus accepts you as his own. And the worst of things that you have done in your life, Jesus has forgiven you. Don't let anybody come to you and throw junk at you. Don't accept it. You need to vehemently reject it because Jesus Christ forgives us of all sin. God's word in this chapter teaches us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from what? All sin. To whom does this us refer? When the word of God says, cleanseth us from all sin. Who is he talking about? I'm asking you that question, and you need to hold on to this. Certainly, this is not the universal salvation. All men are not saved. The impenitent are lost. They would not repent of their sins. They love their sins and they hold on to their sins. And they're lost in their sins. The Bible is consistent about this. The unbelieving are lost, just like the impenitent. The ungodly have not had their sins cleansed. Not because God is unwilling to cleanse the ungodly. God is willing But because this cleansing is conditional on what we're talking about today, and what we're talking about today is confession and repentance. What God does through the Holy Spirit is to convict us. And when he convicts us, he takes our sins and magnifies them to us. So we see ourselves with all that we have done to grieve a holy God. And when he magnifies these sins to us, what he does is to say, "This is you." The honest person before God goes before God not just to praise God that he has shown us our sins. He goes before God to confess. Amen. When we kneel before God, we are admitting. We're not going to fight God. We're going to tell God, "Yes, it's true. You have shown me this, and I thank you that you have shown me it." And when we see our sins before God, we confess because of this great work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The Bible teaches us that no man can come to the Father except he's drawn. Amen. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you feel God working in your hearts, you praise God because God is drawing you to himself, because he wants to lift you up, carry you beyond yourself. And I praise God that God is not willing that any should perish, but that what? All should come to repentance. Hear me, my friends. When we back down on the grace of God, we lose what God has for us. And I want to tell you, my brother, my sister, hear me. Don't let any devil in hell fool you and tell you that God is playing jokes with you. God is not. God is not willing that any should perish. So God brings conviction on us, the act of the Holy Spirit. So first we want to ask ourselves, what is this conviction of sin? Many people will readily admit that they are sinners in thought and word and deed, and still believe that they can come to God independent of Jesus Christ and the blood. They really are caught up in a strange position where they're ready to say the religious thing. And the religious thing is, "I've sinned in thought and word and deed." They're not thinking one thing about the blood of Jesus Christ. And they could go to God independent of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. My friends, that's a slap in the face of the Almighty God. Amen. To seek to pray without any mention of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and his shed blood, they have no sense of their real position in the sight of God. It takes an act of God's grace to bring conviction of sin to the heart of every unsaved man. It's God who must wake us up. Amen. Or are we going to sleep the rest of our lives spiritually and be lost eternally if God doesn't wake us up? If you find an uneasiness in your heart, it's God's faithfulness to you, because God loves you. Amen. And he wants you for himself. And he's got a better plan for your life than you have or the devil has. And God wants to do something beautiful in you. Oh, I thank God that his work is redemptive in this world. Only as this happens can a man come to God. Without this conviction and repentance, the apostle teaches us that a man deceives himself. That's what we read this morning. He is deceived by an imagination of his own excellence. He sees himself better than he is. And he compares himself with other people. And when you compare yourself with other people, you feel good about yourself. And people like to feel good about themselves. They don't care about truth. They just want to feel good. Why you want to feel good? You don't want to be good? If you seek to prove yourself and to say you have no sin and deceive yourself and the truth is not in you, you're staying in that condition for the rest of your life and face God and eternity without a savior. You want to do that just to feel good about yourself and look good? Come up smelling like a rose. Why? Why do we have to come up smelling like a rose and we stink for real? We're deceiving ourselves. Because if we'll be honest in our hearts, we all have skeletons in the closet, things of which we are thoroughly ashamed and disgraced. Why you want to smell good? Why you want to look good when we all have sin in our lives? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why must we seek to prove otherwise? No, my friend. Our business is not to come up smelling good. You got to put too much perfume on that junk to get it smelling right. And you know full well that smell is going to wear off because that perfume not lasting forever. It's just superficial. But what the blood of Jesus Christ does is to cleanse us through and through and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God forever. If we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And now in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, we have a picture of a church in Laodicea. Are you watching its condition? Let's read it together. Because thou seest that I'm increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Don't you like that? That's how God sees us. And that's what God's admonition to everybody in the world is. Listen, don't stay there. Don't try looking at yourself, smelling yourself, and feeling good about yourself and deceiving yourself. Don't do it. That's nonsense. But you can wake up every single morning, child of God, and know that when you go into that day, you're going to give yourself to God and you're going to pray a certain prayer which goes like this. God, thank you for giving me the rest during the night. Today, I'm giving you this day to you. God, I'm dedicating this day to you. I'm going to ask you that during today, you would help me that I would live out this day in your sight. That I, today, you see how it goes? Every single day, today, Lord. And when you lie down in your bed at night, don't lie down like the horse of the field, as though you had no God. You're tired, and so you just lie down, and you've been eating grass all day, so you just throw yourself down. No, you go back to your God. I say, God, I've lived out this day. If I messed up, forgive me. Help me that tomorrow I do better. But live it out one day at a time before your God. You hear? Because this thing of conviction and confession is a lifelong process for the child of God. You're thanking God for his forgiveness. But you're opening your heart before a holy God and say, God, I could have overlooked something. American theology would tell us that Job had flaws because he had fears. Don't believe that, you hear? That Job had a fear that his children may have displeased God and sinned against him. So what Job did was to offer sacrifice for them. And the same thing that he feared came upon him. And his children got into all kinds of trouble. I know this. This is modern day theology. But the child of God never lived like that. The child of God always lived before God, conscious of the glory of God and conscious of the weakness of himself, the flaws that are around him. And therefore, he's got to call upon God on a daily basis, not boasting anything before God, but determining he's going to live clean. Amen. And God helps him. You remember Joseph? You know what kind of problems Joseph had? But Joseph lived in the presence of God. And all of God's people do that every single day that we live. Child of God, this is not to make you self-righteous, but this is just to give you an insight into what a holy life is about. That you're living before a holy God, and God wants you to live clean every single day that you live. Our only hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Anytime we have an inadequate view of our own sinfulness, we're always going to want to wake up smelling sweet. But what you want is to live in the presence of God. And day by day, God is going to lead you through a life of holiness. I wanted to look it up and get it right. This conviction of sin is something used to be preached. But I don't know the last time I heard about conviction of sin. When I got saved, it is a term that we heard all the time. Church, we need to know that term. That term is conviction of sin. So I went to Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary for a proper definition. And the dictionary says, this conviction of sin is a process of being condemned by one's own conscience as a sinner because of God's demands. Conviction of sin is a major theme in the scripture. It is found in Psalm 32. And if you were to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 32, you're going to find the psalmist talking about how he feels before God. Turn in your Bible with me to Psalm 32 and read it with me. What it says: blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through the roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sins unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every man that is godly pray unto the in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters thou shalt not nigh me. Amen. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be that thou like the horse unto mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, yes, thou come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy. Oh, praise God. Don't you like that? Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We're not going to read Psalm 51. When you go home, I want you to read it. But that Psalm 32 is the one I want us to hold on to. But that Psalm 51, you remember the beginning of the series, that's what I preached on. So that Psalm 51 is David's psalm, where David taught us about repentance and acknowledging sin. I thank God my mother taught me that when I was a boy. In fact, all of us in the family had to learn Psalm 51. And you know when they teach you the scripture and you got to line up before your mother and say it. You got to line up and say it, right? Because she, in those days they believe in a different psychology that you wear around your waist. And they get you to do it right. But we learned that as children, you see. Psalm 51. You see, this great theme that is found throughout the scriptures, this theme of conviction and confession, that God convicts us of our wrong. And that conviction is not to depress us, but to lift us up. And there are jokers around that want to depress you. And they want to show you everything that's wrong with you. Don't listen to them. Listen to God. God wants to lift you up. You hear? You walk with God. Conviction leads to confession. Confession leads to forgiveness. God wants all his people to be free from sin. The agent of conviction is the Holy Spirit, according to John 16. Verses 7 to 11. John 16, verses 7 to 11. Read it with me. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You see, the agent is the Holy Ghost. It's only the Holy Ghost could bring conviction to us. And if that conviction does not come to us, we're going to stay exactly where we are. And by the way, this is a physical law. We were able to have this thing documented. And we've got, you go and study any kind of mechanics, you're going to find that you got to study this. That a body stays just where it is. Or it's going to move just how it's moving. Unless a force acts outside of it to change the acceleration or to get it to move at all. And that's true in our hearts, my friend. The Bible teaches us this. That the agent of repentance that brings conviction is the blessed Holy Ghost. The means of conviction is the Word of God, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 27. This is the means. And if we are to understand how at all we can have conviction, the Word of God got to make it clear, or else we're going to believe in a lot of old wise fables, and they're going to dump a lot of junk in us, whether they're coming and handing us the modern day psychology or the old time psychology or any kind of psychology. They can't bring conviction. The Holy Ghost alone can do it, and he does it through the Word of God. The means of conviction is the Word of God, or God's general revelation of his demands through nature and man's inward consciousness of a sense of right and wrong. And God shows us in the book of Romans how it is that God works in the hearts of men, and men are conscious from the beginning of this right and wrong. And if we neglect that right and wrong that God puts within us through our conscience, we have a degenerative process, and we start going down and down and getting worse and worse. And you read the book of Romans, you're going to see how men start going further and further down because they've neglected or rejected this glorious truth from the Word of God. Don't do it, child of God. You want to walk with God and walk erect in this world. And God has brought us to New York with that purpose, that as we gather together in the name of Jesus, he could do something glorious through us. I told you all several times, I got a thing that I'm praying about. And really, one of the reasons I'm praying about it is because in the sight of most of us, this is a ridiculous thing, and it can only happen if God does it. I told you, I really believe that we got a slavery that binds us from one generation to the next. You spend 30 years paying off your mortgage, your children come behind you, spend 30 years paying off the mortgage. On and on and on we go. And all this money we are spending from one generation to the next, we're spending it, giving it to the same set of people. And that group has become more and more wealthy every single year. And the disparity between them and us is so big we can't even see it anymore. And we have grown to accept it. One of the things I wanted to put on the bulletin this week, but I'm not good at computers, you know. And I got a new computer, and this thing beating me. I gotta call my son all the time to help me with this thing. But I wanted to print something that Harriet Tubman had said. She said if she could have convinced more people that they were slaves, she could have saved a lot more people. But they could not believe that they were slaves. They got a lifestyle that they were born into. And they would continue to live like that all the time. Oh, my friend, God must open our eyes to a new slavery that exists today. And I got a prayer that I'm talking to God about. And I know that even as I pray this prayer, it's a ridiculous prayer that I could only talk to God about. You hear? Mind you, if you're going to God to pray about something, don't go light. I'm not asking for 36 cents. No, no, no. This prayer that I pray as a pastor, I'm saying, God, free our people from this slavery that binds them. Let the people of Laurelton know that God could deliver us from this slavery. God can help us to make a difference. But the people were so contented with their slavery that when she would be doing all of this stuff, getting all these people together to deliver them, they're happy, happy, happy in their slavery. They're getting beat up and beat up and beat up. They're like the Karen Crow and the coconut tree. Watch that Karen Crow. I was 7 years old when I started watching them. When you see the rain start falling, you see that rain beating the Karen Crow. and he looks cloaky. He on top of this coconut tree, and everybody could see that he getting a hard time. And in Guyana, we got a saying that say, every time rain fall, Karen Crow say he can build a nest. But every time rain stop, he forget. And this is what happened to us. We're flogged by this all the time. Hear me. I pray, God, give us a way out. Give us a deliverance from this slavery, that people could know that you are God and you still hear the cries of your people. Call upon God. He does it for your sin, and he could intervene in human activity and make a difference. And I could afford to talk to God about this. God, deliver your people. I don't know how he would do it, but he will. So the agent of conviction is the Holy Spirit. The means of conviction is the Word of God, God's general revelation. The purpose of conviction is to lead a person to repent. God's got that purpose, to repent of sins and to turn for salvation and eternal life. I'm not going to preach the second part of the message. One of these days, God might help me to preach it. But the second part of this message is about confession of sin. I know that this conviction and confession is not a comfortable thing. You watch it every year, don't you? You watch the trees of the field. There comes a time when every leaf on that tree has to come off. Before it starts coming off, it gets brown. You notice that? And it begins to shrivel up. They drop off. We watch that process every year. It's not a nice process for the tree. But those of us who have observed this long enough know that when all the storms are gone and all the winter is behind us, there's coming a time when those trees are going to show some leaves that are so green, translucent. When you walk in under the leaves in the spring, you see a color that you don't see in those leaves any other time of the year. There's a green. You could see through the leaf. And that's a beautiful thing to watch out, you hear? My wife told me we were coming home one afternoon. She said, what's this? She said, those trees are shooting out green leaves. Well, I didn't see it. But when she showed me that, I said, yeah, it's true. I saw green leaves within the last couple of weeks while I was bringing my wife home. Well, you know, my friends, that the last 2 weeks were no joke. We get some winter in us that tear us to bits, isn't that right? Last year, I got some stuff on my hand. My fingers were so numb, I couldn't use them. It took me weeks before feelings came back to my fingers when the cold from my radiator that burst and blew the engine hit me. But she showed me the green leaves. And we are accustomed to be seeing this every single year. But the tree has to go through the horrors of the winter. And God will survive that before it can enjoy the beauty of that green that comes in the spring. You too got to go through this Holy Ghost conviction and confession. It's not pleasant when the Holy Spirit going to show you your sins. We get vexed with God when God shows us these things. Don't do it. God wants to pull us out, because the enemy wants to cover us up with darkness and spoil even your purposes for your life. Don't allow him to do that. Take the conviction. Unpleasant as it is, it must lead to confession. And that confession is no. We feel we got time. We don't. We don't have time. We feel one of these days I'm going to pray. One of these days we'll understand it better by and by. You're fooling yourself. When God convicts you of sin, the time to repent is no. Amen. You don't cover it. You don't push it behind you and say it's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. In the meantime, the world is dying in need of you and the ministry that God has put in you. Every day you live, you must be fulfilling that ministry before God. And church, if you don't do this, you're going to miss out on the purposes that God has for you. With all my heart, I believe this is why I'm in New York. When I came, I didn't want to live in New York. Kansas City, Missouri. Even the clock doesn't work as fast as this. Check them out. Go to Kansas City, Missouri, and you'll find. That's where I wanted to live, you hear? We had moved out. My wife and the children had moved out to Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm coming behind. That summer, I spent every month going to Kansas City, Missouri for one thing. You see, I advertise in Kansas City, Missouri. I tell them, I'm coming to Kansas City, Missouri. I'm a man that you guys want. You talk with a big head. I say, give me an appointment and I'm going to come and see you. And they gave me these appointments and I went out. And they gave me a job that was going to pay me just what I'm getting in Manhattan. I am so excited. I said, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. I come into Kansas City, Missouri. We bought furniture. We went and we saw the house that we were going to live in. Nice four-bedroom house. You drive through the back of the yard and go into the garage. Talk with nice. It's sitting on 1 acre of land. And those of you who know me know I can plant the whole acre, right? I'm ready to come. So I sat down and I called the company when I'm ready to go out to take up the job. My wife is fasting out there. I'm fasting in New York. And we waiting on God to show me something. For me, I'm saying, God, show me that this is your will. This is what I want to do. This is nice. Because it got everything I'm looking for. I'm short-sighted, right? So I could see what I want to see. Yes. So I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I'm praying and fasting. And the week that I gave notice to the company that I'm coming to take up the appointment, they said, I'm glad you called. I'm glad you called, because right now we're going through a recession. And we're freezing all appointments for a couple months. Now, I'm ready to give notice to my company in Manhattan and travel down. But they're telling me, hold on, in a couple of months we can send for you. They did. They did in a couple of months send for me to go and pick up this appointment. And when they sent for me, I thought to myself, what have I got in my head that I wanted to go to Kansas City? Because you see, by that time, but a good man had asked me to help him start this church in Jamaica Avenue, you know. I haven't a clue that that was going on. And that's how I became pastor of this church. That's how God gave me a purpose. That when I came to America, I won't be wasting my time with surveying all my life. Well, I could use the surveying to help me along as pastor getting a church started. And I did. But is that why I came? I thought so, but That wasn't it. This is what it is, that God gave me a ministry. I was able to meet people. My children were able to get the greatest influences in their lives. What a blessing those people have been. Y'all got to hear about Sister Gibson. You got to hear about Sister Eastman. You got to hear about the lady that died recently that used to play the piano. Oh, what a blessing they were. God gave me a new life. Gave me the greatest blessing I could have had coming to America by bringing me into the relationship with this church. Has it always been easy? I wish I could say so. Was it a bed of roses? Bed of roses, right? I've suffered a lot of pain. There were nights that I couldn't sleep at all. But it's a big thing when you've confessed your sin. You've had the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And that leads to a life of fellowship with God. You see, when I could read this Thompson Chain Reference Bible again, and I could turn from passage to passage, oh, my friend, what a joy I had. Because, you know, for a long time, I couldn't read this. The cataracts had bothered me. I know of going on a cruise and 2 o'clock in the morning, I get in a spot by myself so I won't wake up the family, and I would sit down and read this thing, this Thompson Chain Reference Bible that gives you references to passages all over. This is my good friend. I could read it again. Means a lot to me. I wish you would find this delight of meaningfulness in your life. Don't accept second best from the enemy. Child of God, confession, which follows conviction, leads to a life of peace with God. That's what you want. Let's stand and talk to God. Lord God, we don't want to play games with you. We want to live in your presence day by day. We want to take your word seriously, that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we know that we will not confess our sins unless you convict us of our sins. We will always want to boast about ourselves and to see ourselves in the best light. But make us white. Make us pure. We want to live in your presence and enjoy peace with you. Bless us together and help us to live in your presence this morning. We come to confess our sins. We come to reach out to you. Make us what you want us to be. Give us hearts to respond to you. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Lord, wash me. The number is 5531. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever. My soul, break down every idol, cast out every fall. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow, whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow.
for us again.